morning and welcome to another edition of Weekend Magazine. We've got a special show planned for you. You're going to love this show and you're going to love what's going on. We're speaking with Elise Goldberg, who is the historic site manager for Washington's headquarters, the state historic site. Elise, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, that's great. I was saying to you offline that the last time we spoke, you were raising money for your Tower of Victory. So now you've got the money raised. It's reopening. So that's going to be part of our talk today.
Great.
So let's start off for people that aren't familiar with Washington's headquarters. Where is it located and a little bit about the history of how it came to be?
Sure. Washington's headquarters is in Newburgh. It's on Liberty Street between Washington and Lafayette Streets. And it is right overlooking the Hudson River. So it was a strategic location for General Washington during the Revolutionary War. He was here for 16 and a half months, from April of 1782 to August of 1783. And people forget that the Revolutionary War was actually going on after the siege at Yorktown. And he was here during that time, and they were negotiating a peace at the time, but we never knew for sure if it was going to be over. 2020 hindsight, it was over, but it wasn't over. So Washington was here. While he was here, he did a lot of things at the Hasbrook House, which he rented from the Hasbrook family. He lived there with Martha for 12 months of that time.
Okay.
So while he was here, he created the Badge of Military Merit, which most people know now as the Purple Heart, that was created here at headquarters in Newburgh.
Wow.
He also penned what we now call the Newburgh Addresses, which was part of, people might have heard of the Newburgh Conspiracy. There was almost a coup with the officers because they hadn't gotten paid for months. And they were all stationed in New Windsor at the New Windsor Cantonment, which now is also a state historic site.
Okay.
And he penned the address to respond to their concerns. And he read it. He went over to the Cantonment and read it. And when they wasn't getting the reaction he wanted, he read another letter from one of the congressmen, and it was written in a strange handwriting, and he pulled out his spectacles, which at the time people didn't realize that he wore and was sort of a sign of weakness. And he apologized and said something, paraphrasing, of course, that he's not only grown gray, but also blind in the service of his country.
Oh, boy.
And supposedly it brought the men to tears, and they said, we really remember now what we were struggling for.
Oh.
And so that all happened while he was here in Newburgh. He also created what we know as the Circular Letter to the Governors, which was a long document that articulated his vision for the new republic. And some of it at the time was controversial, but a lot of it came into the what we now know as the Constitution. So a lot of the concepts he thought of here as
so
well.
That was back when he refused the crown? Was that at the same time?
Yes, he also did that. He he responded to a letter from Colonel Nicola, who suggested that we have a monarchy here. And he said that's not what, basically, that's not what he was fighting for 8 years. So he sort of, they call it refusing the crown. But he did leave here as somebody who they, was the prime candidate to be the first president because of what he did during the war.
Wow. And this was the longest he was ever in any one place, right?
Yeah, he had about 160-some-odd headquarters throughout the eight-year war. He was here the longest for 16 and a half months.
Wow.
And when, when he left, it reverted back to the Hasbrook family. He had only rented it. The Army rented it for his headquarters. So they moved back in and lived in the house until the 1830s, 40s, when it ended up was going to be lost to a foreclosure.
Wow.
And the community rallied because of all the things that happened here and how they revered Washington. And at that time in the 1840s, 1850s, the country was in a bit of a turmoil. People were holding on to these basic values and their champions, and he was one of them. And they decided to rally and save the house from destruction and from being sold. So the state stepped in after, you know, negotiations, whatnot. The state stepped in and bought it to preserve it, and it became the first publicly owned historic site in the nation.
Wow.
And this is history that's right here in Newburgh. Yep. Everyone in Newburgh should own this history and come down and see it. So we're right in downtown Newburgh. The site, in addition to the Hasbrook family farmhouse, in 1910 they opened a museum building. And that was because, being the first publicly owned historic site, the community rallied, brought artifacts, started collecting objects that were not only Revolutionary War related or Washington related or Hasbrook related or Newburgh even related, mm-hmm. but it was things that were important to people from the community. So as they started doing their grand tours of Europe and Asia, they'd bring back souvenirs. During that time, you know, we have a lot of objects where scientific research was started to change, and we have Cabinet of Curiosity objects here, too. We have all kinds of domestic things, art objects, and they wanted a place that was safe to store it. So in 1910, they opened the museum building.
And you guys have the you have some chain that went across the,
right.
the Hudson.
If people have ever heard of the Great Chain or the Chain and Boom. We have the only salvaged piece of the boom that went across the Hudson to stop the people, the British Army, from coming up the Hudson River. Because at that point, New York was still British. But the river was so important that he felt that if the river wasn't secured, it would separate everything north and east from the rest of the colony. So it was very important to have control of the river. And let's remember, at that time, the river were our highway systems.
That's right.
So that's where everything was going on. So they did do a number of different things, including boom and chains, to go across to stop the British Army, the Navy, from coming up.
Yeah, Newburgh was strategically so important, too, for the food supplies. The,
right,
yeah, the tower, the what is it, the fires on the top of Mount Beacon.
Right, well, there were beacon. One of the ways to communicate long distances were through beacon fires.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a number of signal fires that went all the way up the Hudson. So, you know, if there was movement in New York, they would hear about it up here. So there were a relay system of fires. One was up on top of Mount Beacon, which is why it's called right. Mount Beacon. And it was directly across the river from Washington's headquarters here. So he can see anything that was going on. There was also a lot of things between, you know, Fishkill had the supply depot, and there was Wappinger's Creek, where a lot of the boats were repaired and built. There was a lot going on in this area. And the chain, and, you know, there was a huge forge down in what's now Sterling Forest.
Yes.
And that built some of the pieces of the chain and boom and stuff. So, I mean, this was incredibly instrumental, this area, to the Revolutionary War.
I remember sitting in, it was South High, and I was 7th or 8th grade, I don't remember which grade, but it was middle school, and in the book, it said Newburgh, and it was like, I was so shocked, and the guy was talking about, you know, Washington was right around, right close by, and it was like, it was just like a weird feeling, like, how can I be so close to, you know, something that is in a book that you think of everything as being far, far away? This is the place, yeah.
But this was very important to the Revolutionary War, and the people of Newburgh really should embrace this as their history. This is the country's history.
That's
and
right.
It's right in their backyard. And, you know, we really try to get the community involved and try to get them to come and visit. One of the things that also happened, which, you know, is important this weekend, is that in 1883, the centennial of the end of the war,
mm-hmm.
so it ended in 1783.
Okay.
And Robert Todd Lincoln, who was then the Secretary of War, he was the son of President Lincoln, he commissioned that a monument be built to celebrate the peaceful end of the war. Mm. And that structure ended up being built and opened in 1887. It was completed, and it became the Tower of Victory.
And that's a spectacular piece of architecture.
It is. It is. And it's very important, especially at the time, because of the people who were involved with designing it. It was designed by John Duncan of New York. He was an artist and architect. And he's best known for Grant's Tomb in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Wow.
And also the Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Arch in Prospect Park.
Wow.
Right over Plaza. So that was all done, you know, within a few years of the Tower of Victory. So this is, you know, this is an incredibly prominent monument of the time. And also there's a number of bronze statues mm-hmm. and gates that were done by William Rudolph O'Donovan, who was, again, another prominent sculptor of the time. And that includes the different types of servicemen mm-hmm. from the time, you know, whether it was the artillery or the dragoons. There's also a statue of Washington in the center of the atrium.
Oh, wow.
And there's bronze gates that have the seals of the different states that were here, the colony states, mm-hmm. As well as other emblems of the Republic. And those are all adorning this wonderful tower. The problem is, it was opened in 1887. There was a hurricane in 1950.
Oh.
And it damaged the roof. And that also damaged the observation level, the Belvedere.
How tall is that thing?
It's 53 feet.
Wow.
But because the roof was damaged, it ended up having to be removed in order to preserve the structure.
Uh-huh.
And since, you know, the middle of last century, it's been topless.
I see.
And most people know it, you know, as this sort of stumpy, rounded off topped, cube-like tower mm-hmm. That's been on the property for 70 years like that. So most people in their lifetime have never seen it with the roof. So it took a while, and we did a large capital campaign that raised over $1.6 million.
Wow, congratulations. That's
and
amazing.
We actually tomorrow celebrate the reopening of the tower, where you can go up to the Belvedere under this wonderful tiled roof and see magnificent views of the Hudson once again.
I don't think there's a view that can beat that view. That's a fantastic view. And it's so easy to get to you and to walk around and have a really nice day over there.
Yeah.
So there's steps going up.
I want to also say that, you know, this could not be done without the support of a lot of people.
Yes.
The Capitol campaign was spearheaded by the Palisades Interstate Parks Commission and the Palisades Parks Conservancy, which are part of New York State Parks Rec and
yeah.
Historic Preservation, but we also are administered by the Palisades Interstate Park Commission, and the Conservancy is a wonderful friend to the site and the commission. We also have a friends group, the Friends of the State Historic Sites of the Hudson Highlands, and a lot of community people, businesses and community folks who just, you know, as it was, the site was saved in 1850, they rallied around to protect this tower and to restore it back to its original grandeur. So we're very grateful to all of them for the work that they've done for this.
The area residents should really cherish what you've got there, too. And I'll tell you, you can't find a nicer vacation destination to come. And between you and you got the Purple Heart, you got West Point Museum, you've got the Cantonment. I mean, it's a really great history location.
And that's just on this side of the river.
Yeah, and you're the tip of the spear. So you get that's right. And it's just this side, and you can go across. So the tower has stairs that go to the top. Then
yes, there's a wonderful atrium that you can walk into that's open on all four sides,
uh-huh.
With a sculpture of General Washington in the middle of it. And then there's two spiral staircases, one up, one down, that leads to the Belvedere.
Uh huh.
And there, have you ever walked the Statue of Liberty stairs?
Yeah.
It's that similar feeling.
Okay.
It's the same time period, but it's that similar, the metal spiral narrow staircases
yep.
that go up to the top. And once you reach the top, you're under this beautiful roof, and you have all sides open to see wonderful views of Newburgh, upriver, downriver, across over to Dutchess and Putnam counties. You know, I mean, it's just a magnificent view.
Fantastic.
All seasons. It's beautiful.
People come and have a picnic over there? I mean, can they...
Yeah, we have about 7 acres, 6.5 acres of grounds uh-huh. overlooking the Hudson. And we have wonderful lawn that you can spread out and have a nice picnic. And we also, on the other side, on the Liberty Street side, there's many more trees and shade, and you can picnic there and rest and take a nap and whatnot. It's just a beautiful grounds, especially right down in the middle of downtown Newburgh.
Yep.
It's a nice oasis.
It's a great place to come with a sketchbook, too, and pick a scene and sketch.
Absolutely. There's a lot of plein air painting going on.
Yeah.
And there's always a breeze from the river.
Yeah.
So on a nice, hot summer day, this is a nice place to go sit for a bit.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, beautiful grounds. Now, you've got, maybe we should go into what you're doing this, for Saturday, the
27th. 12 o'clock. 4.
Okay.
We have a wonderful event to celebrate. And, of course, we will have a ribbon-cutting ceremony that starts off the event with a ribbon-cutting ceremony. And we have some wonderful speakers who will be here. The commissioner of New York State Parks will be here to celebrate, Eric Hulisted, and Jim Hall, who's the executive director of the Palisades Interstate Park Commission, and also Torrance Harvey, who is the mayor of Newburgh, will be mm-hmm. part of the celebration, and historian and author Barnett Schechter will be here speaking as well. We have the New York Military Academy's Color Guard will be part of it, and we're going to have some music all afternoon. After the ceremony, we will have the Empire Drumline.
Oh, wow.
Which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And the Ministers of Apollo, which is a fife and drum group, who will be walking around the grounds playing music, along with, we have 4 different reenactor troops coming, regiments.
Oh, boy.
Coming, the 4th Connecticut, the 5th Connecticut, the New York 5th, and Lamb's Artillery. We'll be here doing musket and cannon drills all afternoon. And we have General and Martha Washington will be here.
Okay.
So there's a lot to do. We have family, kids activities and crafts on the lawn as well. Plus the house and the museum will be open.
Oh, good.
And most importantly, people will have an opportunity to go up the stairs and see the views of the Hudson. The best part about all of this is that it's not a one-day event. This is just the kickoff of the reopening of the tower. The tower will be open to the public from this point forward. And it's a great, so if you can't make it on Saturday the 27th, definitely come, what the site is open at this time of year, Wednesday through Sunday.
And what hours would you say?
Wednesday through Saturday, we're open from 11 to 5. Sundays from 1 to 5. You know, let me give you our phone number.
Okay.
So if anybody has questions or wants to give us a call, it's 845-562-1195. You can also find us at www.nysparks.com, www.nysparks.com, and we're on Facebook. So if you can't come on the 27th, not to worry. It'll be crowded. You might have, but on that day, we're asking people to just, go up, take a look. But on the other days, we're going to be having tours of the tower itself so you can get the history and get an interpretive tour. And
boy,
spend a little bit more time in
the
tower.
You guys do really, really great tours. You have tours of the house also on that day?
The house, on the 27th, the house will be open and as an open house where you can do self-guided walkthrough,
okay.
As is the museum. But normally what we do is we open the house for tours. So you're taken by guided tour through the house as well as you would be with the tower. We will have tower tours. So you get much more of the history and the understanding of what the restoration was for and why it was so important to us. And you get that when you do the guided tour on the other days.
Oh, fantastic. I'll tell you. The other thing we didn't mention, but I just want to point to people. When I was doing, I was up in the Berkshires, and Chester French did the Minuteman statue. And this is the sister to the other, you know, there was like only two or three made or something. One of them is right in Newburgh on your lawn. And that man is very, very famous. And that's a very famous piece of statuary.
There's one in Lexington.
Yeah.
The original one. And this one is a little different, but, you know, it's interesting to note the differences. And, you know, little things like the shoes.
Yes.
The hats. Things like that. So, yeah, there's a number of monuments on the site as well. So, there's a lot to see here. You know, we expect that people come. They should expect to spend about 2 hours here. Not necessarily on Saturday, but when they come on a regular visit.
Yeah. Yeah, you've had a lot of famous people too visit. I remember somebody showed me a picture of Charles de Gaulle there making a speech on the back lawn. And
yes, we've had people here. We've had Frederick Douglass spoke here.
Wow.
You know, most recently the president of the Republic of Poland came to for a visit.
Huh.
We've had presidents. We've had President and Secretary Clinton.
Yep.
Were here a few years back. I mean, you know, it's an important piece of art history. It's a little gem in Newburgh.
Yep.
So we do get important people. But I think the most important people in my mind are the local citizens who, you know, this is their community. This is their history.
That's right.
And to me, it's most important that they know about it, that they take pride in why this was saved and why it's here and what it meant to this nation and its founding.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful, you know, it's there's some cute little shops across the street. When somebody comes, they could fill a day over there. There's
Absolutely.
Quite a bit you can do.
Newburgh has had a bit of a renaissance lately.
Yep.
And we have a number of wonderful restaurants on Liberty Street and shops as well. And not to mention the Newburgh Brewing Company, which is on the other side.
Yep.
We also have the waterfront right there. And Broadway is coming back and has a lot of shops opening. And, you know, there's things happening at Safe Harbors and concerts and all over the area.
And so what about the Carpelese Museum? That's
right?
A historic manuscript museum. That's stellar. That's glow. I mean, they have stuff that you wouldn't
shop. There's so much to do here. And, you know, there's things happening in the community, just, you know, besides the programs that we offer.
Mm-hmm.
Even this Sunday, the 28th, Habitat for Humanity is having a walk for housing that's starting from our site. And, you know, the city on Memorial Day, on May 27th, they have their big parade that ends here at the site, and they do a service at the grave of Yuzel Knapp.
Mm-hmm.
June 1st is Newburgh Illuminated, which is a whole street celebration with thousands and thousands of people who come with vendors, and there's musical performances and dance performances and food and all kinds of art activities. It's a wonderful celebration on June 1st. And we, you know, our site is open and we have all the kids' activities on our grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And the Elks, the Newburgh Elks, do a June 14th, which is Flag Day, do a service here that's wonderful, that talks about the history of the American flag and all that. So there's a lot happening in the community that Washington's headquarters is part of as well.
Yep. And I also want to give a plug. Not far on the other side of Broadway is Downing Park, which was the same architects that did the Rose Garden at the White House and Central Park.
Right.
And we also have a motorcycle museum in Newburgh.
Yep.
There's quite a bit. Yes, is there. So there's quite a bit. And then across the river, you got the Dia and Beacon. So within a mile or two?
If you're looking for more at Mount Gullion and the Van Wyck Homestead and
New Windsor.
So much.
Purple Heart and
The Purple Heart Hall of Honor, the New Windsor Cantonment.
Yep.
There's Knox's headquarters. There's the Edmonston House. I mean, there's just so much going on here. You can come and spend a week,
yeah,
let alone a day.
There is quite a bit to do. So we've got maybe 2 minutes. If somebody wanted to bring a bus group for a tour, would they have to call a special number?
They would just give us a call. And the number here again is 845-562-1195. And they can come and make an appointment. We love having school groups, adult groups, senior groups. We also will take it on the road and go do an outreach and do a program if they're interested and can't get here.
I didn't know.
So outreach. Yeah, so we are open to all of that. We host weddings. We
are
open to be a resource to the community in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. Now, your museum right now, are there any special exhibits or anything somebody should watch for when they go?
We do. We have a very sweet exhibit on at the moment. We were doing some roof repairs recently to the Hasbrook House, and one of the restoration crew went to clean off a rafter. He saw that it looked like a little mold. He went to go clean it off, and he found a very small paper box.
Oh, wow.
About 1 inch by 1.5 inch. I mean, a very small paper box. And he took it down, and our paper conservators and conservators opened it up. And they found a symbol and a ring.
Oh, wow.
Both engraved with the letter M. So we did a program with the ninth grade honors writing class.
We got about 30 seconds at least.
And well, basically, we are highlighting the stories of what might have been the reason that those objects were left there.
Yeah.
And we'll be having a program on June 8th to tell everyone the rest of the story.
Okay.
What they actually have found out.
We will keep tuned. And Elise, thank you so much for coming on. I hope I can get to see you this week. If not, I'll come another time and check
definitely.
It out.
All right. Definitely.
Okay. Well, that's
thank
a wrap.
Thank you for
folks.
Having us.
No problem. We'll see you soon. And we'll have you back on and again, maybe in the fall and see what's going on too.
Anytime.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's a wrap, folks. I hope you check out Washington's headquarters. Bye-bye.